My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to be continuing our teaching in 1 Thessalonians. And it's been a wonderful book. We're here at the end of it, and we're going to continue teaching in it until it's finished. And I think when we get done with it, then I'm going to take a review and go over what we've learned. So that we can just, I think the only way to teach is to review. The best teachers of this world are the people that review. When you teach math, and you teach them the first part of the basics of math, and then you go to the next, you need to go back and start over again all the time and keep reviewing so that people, they understand it. And this is what I'm teaching the gospel, and that's what I'm teaching these books. And so we'll have a review after we get done of what we've had, so it'll stick in your memory. You'll understand it. It'll have it there, and it'll make all the difference in the world. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, and we're in chapter 5, and we're going to start with verses 17. And it says that we're going to finish it up, and then we're going to have a review. And then our next lesson, we're going to be dealing with 2 Thessalonians, but we're going to finish this first. I wanted to start at 17, verse 17, because this is tremendously important. And it says, pray without ceasing. This is chapter 5, verses 17. Pray without ceasing. And that's what it means. You know, how many people have a prayer life? Very few. Very few. And God wants us to take everything to Him in prayer. Everything. I don't care what it is. He wants us to take it to Him in prayer. And we need to be praying for each other. And I want to ask you right now to be praying for me. Because Satan is after me. There's no ifs and buts about it. He doesn't want the gospel to be taught. He's doing everything that he can do to stop it. I'm wanting to get this into Spanish. All my teaching into Spanish. And I have been hindered totally almost. I've only got 4 of my teachings out of close to 60 now. Over 60. Over 60, and I've only got 4 of them turned into Spanish. And I had paid to have it done twice, you know, and it never gets done. It just don't get done. And Satan is hindered. He doesn't want the Mexican people, the Spanish people, to hear this gospel. You see, they're steeped in Judaism too. Most of them are Catholics, and they don't believe the gospel for their salvation. They got tons of things they have to do to be saved. They got to be a member of the church, the Catholic Church, to be saved right off the bat. They've got to pray to Mary. They got to pray to the saints, and they got tons of things that they have to do. But you see, that isn't the gospel. There's nothing that we have to do except believe the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. And so you need to be praying for each other, each and every one of us, to give us the strength to step out and proclaim the gospel just like these Thessalonians did. You know, and they only had 4 weeks of training, and they did it. And I really believe that if you could get into these teachings that I have, and you go through all of them, you're going to have the background enough that there is nobody that could ever persuade you to turn your back from the gospel. And you could have as much knowledge in this scripture that I do by just going through these teachings, because that's all I've got. All you're learning is not from me. You're learning what the Bible says, and that's what the key. But the key is the Holy Spirit. And when you truly understand this gospel, and all you got to take is by faith, you just sit down in your chair and you say, Lord, I believe the gospel for my salvation, that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead. When you do that, you talk to him out loud just like I'm talking to you. Go by yourself and do that. And the second you truly believe that and you say that, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and your life will change. I don't care who you are. I don't care what situation you're in. I don't care if you're a druggie. I don't care what you are. I don't care if you're a thief. I don't care if you're hooked on alcohol or pornography or anything. God will come into you and change your life. You can't do it on your own. You see, we can't walk the Christian life on our own. And that's what the churches today are asking the people to do. And so they spend all their time teaching morals. But if you've got God in you, that isn't a problem. You don't want to sin. That's the last thing you want to sin. I'll tell you a little story. I know I'm rambling, but this is important. What happens if you think there's a bunch of men going to a football game, and they got there a little early, and the gates weren't open, so they're all standing around, and they were talking, and somebody had a dirty joke, and he told it, and then somebody was talking and had some profanity and all. But all of a sudden, the pastor drove up and got out of his car and walked up amongst the men. What happened? All of a sudden, they just shut up. Oh, hi, Pastor, you know, this and that and the other. Nice day out, looking forward to this game. Nobody was telling any off-color jokes. Nobody was using any bad language. Why? Because a representative of God stepped and walked into him. But what do you think would happen when God lives in you? I'm talking about Jesus Christ is living in you. That's what happens when you believe the gospel. And that sin will be the last thing you want to do. I mean, you will hate sin. You won't want anything to do with it. And if you don't want it, if you don't want sin, if you don't want it, you're not going to be involved in it. See? Sin is the last thing you have in your mind because you've got God living you. The first thing in your mind, your priorities are going to change. And you're going to want to do everything you can do is to get this gospel so other people can be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it don't come by any other way but by believing the gospel. So in verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing and never quit. Never quit praying. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Always be thankful, because there's nothing that you have that you got yourself. People say, I did it myself. Well, you may have done it yourself, but if God hadn't given you the ability to do it, you wouldn't have. You see? If God hasn't given you the ability, you wouldn't have done anything. But He did. But you see, but God did it. He did it through you. And you should be thankful because He gave you the ability. If you're a good singer, you didn't get that on your own. You were given it to you. God gave it to you. If you were good in the business, a builder or a contractor, or if you were good in any work you do, God gave you the ability. Nobody else did. You see? And we can be thankful for everything. You can't even look over this world and look out the door and see the trees and the beautiful flowers and everything that He provided for us. He did it all. Even the house you live in, it's all the materials were given to you by God for it. You see? And all the knowledge that men have today, you think they got it on their own? No. God gave them the knowledge. We need to be thankful for everything. Then it says, quench not the Spirit. He's talking to believers. How do you quench the Spirit? Well, when the Spirit tells you to do something, you don't do it. You don't do that. When God tells you to do something, when He lives in you, you do it. And He'll bless you greatly for it. He'll bless you greatly for it. He says, despise not the prophesying. See, back then, people had to prophesy. They didn't have the television. They didn't have a radio. They didn't have the internet. You know, they had the mouth-to-mouth communications. And that, when Timothy went down there to the Thessalonians, he lifted them up and preached the gospel with them, see. You see, and that was important. But now we don't have prophecy. We don't need it. We got the Word of God. We're looking at it. We're looking at His Word each and every day. It said, when that is perfect, has come, a lot of these things will disappear, like speaking in tongues and prophecy and things like that. It's not necessary anymore. We got the truth. We got the Word of God, the only true and perfect thing that's on this earth. Is the Word of God. It says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. See, we got God living in us. We don't want to have anything to do with sin. And the very God of peace. Now look at this. This is a tremendous verse. Never forget this. Circle this. Whatever you got to do. This is what people tell you. You tell them, once you're saved, you're always saved. They'll just laugh at you. You got to be kidding me. And that's exactly right. You see, but they don't have a clue what salvation is. And believing in Jesus isn't it. You see, that's why they can't. The people, they think they believe in Jesus and they're saved, and all of a sudden they don't have anything to do with the church. Why do churches have 500 enrolled and 75 show up if they were all filled with the Holy Spirit? That wouldn't happen, see. That wouldn't happen, you see. But they don't have the Holy Spirit, and they can't live with the sin nature they got, and it just directs them everywhere. But the church is boring to them. Their mind isn't opened up to be able to understand it. We saw that in the Scriptures. See, it's things are foolishness to them, and they're spiritually discerned. He said, but look what it says here. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means not, this is H-O-L-L-Y. That means completely. It's not real, be a good person. It's great. It's everything. You're sanctified wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. Be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How long is it preserved? Until either Jesus comes back in the rapture or he takes you home with death. But he's going to do it. He will preserve you. Look what it says in verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you. Who called you? God called you. Before the foundation of the world, we saw that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He called you before the foundation of the world. He who called you will also do it. Do what? He's going to preserve you blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're totally in God's hands. And it's just, there's quite a few verses like this throughout the Bible, throughout Paul's writings. You don't find them anyplace else. We have totally security in the gospel, in believing the gospel, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to walk away. It's not impossible. It is impossible, I'm saying. Because God is going to hold you. He's going to never let you get away. You will be preserved blameless until when the Lord Jesus comes, and that's either at the rapture or at your death. How wonderful this is. How wonderful. And then he says in verse 25, and I'm saying the same thing. He says, brethren, pray for us. I'm asking your prayers for me. And to give me the strength and the courage to proclaim the gospel, and that the devil himself would be pushed away so that I can get these things into Spanish, so people in Mexico and Spanish-speaking people here in the United States that can come to the knowledge of the gospel. You see, I have it in English. I've got four of them now in Spanish. But see, I've got 65 or 66 or close to 70 now when this group of them are done. And I want them to have them all, that they can use these to build themselves up and understand the Word of God, and that the Holy Spirit would come up in them, come into them, that they too can walk with the Lord in each and every day and be guided with Him and directed in the way He would have them go. Pray for us. Pray for me, Lord. People, pray for me and give me the strength to continue. He said, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I don't know about you about kissing, but it's okay. I'm a hugger, see, and I've been a hugger all my life. I'll walk up and hug anybody because I love people, but I never kissed too many except my wife, you see. But that was the way they did it back in those days, and there's nothing wrong with it. It says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And that's why we read it to you today. You see, you're holy brethren as far as I'm concerned. And that's why we're reading this epistle to you, to show you that it's not a problem. You just got to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you can understand. We went through this. We had not a problem, see. It's wonderful because Jesus is the one who's talking to you. I'm not saying I'm Jesus. I'm saying I have Jesus in me, see, and His Holy Spirit in me, and He speaks to me. And I kind of feel like Paul. Let's just turn to Galatians. Turn back to the left just a couple of chapters, just a couple of pages. Colossians, excuse me. Colossians chapter 1. And the last verse of Colossians chapter 1, verses 29. This is how I feel. For this I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. See, what I'm doing has nothing to do with me. It's the working of God working mightily through me. See, it's Him working through me. It has nothing to do with Al Morse. I'm using His Word, and all I'm doing is presenting it. And He's doing it through me. And that's what we got to understand. And it's tremendously important. Tremendously important. It says, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So we've covered the First Thessalonians, and we've got a few minutes, and I'm just going to kind of go back to chapter 1, and we're going to kind of go over what we talked about until we get our 27 minutes taken care of, because I think this is important. Review is important. So what did we start off with in chapter 1? We talked about the grace of God. We know how important that is. People, you got to understand, that's what our Paul preached. He always said he preached the gospel of grace. What is the gospel of grace? It's what does grace mean? Unmerited favor. That means Jesus did it all. We do nothing. You see, what's the gospel of the kingdom, the other gospel that was preached? The gospel of the kingdom that Peter, James, and John preached. Was that right? Sure it was when he was preaching to the Jews. But he didn't preach it to us. But the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus was the Messiah. You see, Jesus isn't our Messiah as Gentiles. He's our Savior. There's no doubt about that. He died on that cross to pay for our sins. And I can call him my Savior because of the fact I believe what he told me. See, Jesus told me to believe the gospel. And when I believed the gospel, he became my Savior. See, he didn't come just because I called him my Savior doesn't mean he's my Savior, because I have to believe the gospel for him to be my Savior. That's what saves me. And that's what grace is. And he did it all. We do nothing. All we do is believe the gospel. And he takes everything. Not only does he save you, not only does he take away your sins, he fills you with the Holy Spirit, and he keeps you. He keeps you till when? We just saw it. He keeps you till Christ comes back. Or we die. You're in his hands. You never are lost. And that's grace. That's the gospel of grace. We talked about peace. How we can only have peace with God through believing the gospel, you see. When Christ Jesus died for our sins, he paid for our sins. So when God looks upon us, he doesn't see a sinful nature. He doesn't see a sinful person. He sees Jesus, and his blood covered our sin. And so now we have peace with God because we believe what his Son did. You see, and that was the gospel. We have peace. The whole world is walking with wrath upon them. They're going to see the wrath of God if they live during the tribulation. And if they don't live during the tribulation, the second they die, they're going to open their eyes up in hell. And if that isn't the wrath of God, I don't know what is. That's why it's so important that people believe the gospel for their salvation. Because the alternative is nothing but the lake of fire. See? So that's what we're talking about. The grace of God and peace with God. And then we go on and we talked about the gospel. See, no, we saw faith, I guess it was. What is faith? God has showed me that when we talk about faith in his epistles, in Paul's epistles, he's pointing to the gospel. Because that's the only thing, that faith in the gospel is the only thing that gives us salvation. You say, well, I have my faith in Jesus. That isn't where he told us to put it. He told us to put it in what he did. You're not listening to the Bible. The scripture says he pointed us to the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose. That's salvation for the church. He didn't point to himself. He pointed to what he did. And that's what we believe. And when we believe that, what happens? We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And of course, then we talk about the gospel. The gospel, we went to 1 Corinthians 15, most important verse in the book. The most important verse in the book, showing us what true salvation is. And it's laid out the fifth grader could understand it. I mean, it's laid out that he says, I declare unto you the gospel, not a gospel, the gospel, see. And then it goes on to say, and by which you are so all saved, by which you are saved. This is what this gospel, and then he laid it out, that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, then he was buried according for 3 days according to the scriptures, and then he rose again according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, and he is just as plain as can be. And then I told you about Ephesians chapter 1:13, the second most important verse in the Bible. And what did it say? It said that when we believe the truth, the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel. The gospel of what? Gospel of your salvation. And so then when you believe that, what happened? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. How wonderful! That's the only way that we could be saved, is that the Holy Spirit moved into us, and he keeps us until the day of our redemption. It tells it right there. Till we are redeemed by God, taken back out of this earth, until he takes us home, either in the rapture or he takes us home in death. But we are redeemed and we are saved by him till our redemption, until he takes us home. Another once saved, always saved verse right there. You see. And then he says we're sealed with that Holy Spirit. And because that same Spirit that was in us, we saw that in Romans chapter 8, the same Spirit that God had that raised Jesus from the dead, and this is chapter 8, verses 11, that same Spirit that was in Jesus now is in us, and He will also raise our mortal bodies also. How wonderful! We have nothing to worry about. The second this old man dies, my soul and spirit will go to be with the Lord, and they won't be by itself running, just floating around out there. I'm going to have a body. We talked about that in other teachings, that in Luke 16, those people were talking back and forth, and one was in hell and the other was in paradise, and it was their souls. But yet they thought there was a body. They had a body. They had a finger to put water on it, to put on the rich man's tongue. He was burning horrible, and they talked back and forth. You see, and so we are going to have a body. We're going to have a soul and a spirit that goes to heaven, but it's going to have a spiritual body. It won't be the same body that our glorified body is going to be when we get it at the rapture. But we're not just floating around out there. We're going to have a heck of a lot better in heaven with our spiritual bodies than we are on this earth. You see, it's going to be wonderful. We have nothing to worry about. And then when God comes back, our old bodies are going to raise out of that earth ground. And the second they raise out of the ground, they're going to be turned and changed into God's glorious body. See, that's the rapture. We talked about that. And how wonderful that is, you see. But we just keep going. And as we find these things, we also find it that we talked about the wrath of God, see. And in verse chapter 2:16, that it will come upon the people during the tribulation, you know. And the wrath of God will come upon them because they did not believe the gospel, see. And we find out how Satan hindered us. And especially in chapter 2, verses 3 through 18, how Satan hindered him. When we saw before that in chapter 2, verses 2, how he was shamefully treated. He was beaten by the cat of nine tails. You know, just him and Silas both, and thrown into prison, you see. And how what they've suffered to get the gospel out, you see. And we talked about that, and how he not only did that once, it happened to him five times, and then he was beat with rods three times. He was stoned to death. He was shipwrecked, and he was totally and had all kinds of problems. But he just kept on going. And the only way they could keep him from preaching the gospel, we know that Nero cut his head off. That's the kind of person that Paul was. He was something else, and the love he had for these people was just like a mother and her child. See, that's how he thought of them. That's why I say it's so important to love. I mean, tremendously important to love. We never raise our voices to other breathers. We always uphold them. Sure, they're going to make mistakes, but we've made mistakes, and just think about that a second. None of us here haven't made mistakes. None of us hadn't sinned, but God, He paid for our sins. He forgave us. So don't you think we should forgive other believers also, automatically? It should be automatic because He forgave us of everything, and gave us eternal life forever. And if we can't forgive our own people, we don't get mad at our people. We don't talk bad to them. We don't lift our voice bad to them. We love them. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's what Paul did. It's just wonderful what he did. And then we get involved in, you know, how he's established us. I talked about Colossians chapter 1:22, when, you know, he made us unblameable, unreprovable, you know, and holy. He did that for us, you know. And why? And how? How did it happen? Because we believed the gospel. He says, but if you believe, keep hold of this gospel. And what did he do with this gospel? He preached it to every person under heaven. Every person on this earth, he went and they were preached the gospel to. And our preachers never touch it. They don't touch the gospel with a 10-foot pole. They walk away from it and point us to Judaism. Of course, that's the influence of Satan. He wants everybody to go to hell. And the way to do it is point them to Jesus. And they just jump right in there. That's a good deal. But that isn't the gospel, see. You see, we're going to find when we get in 2 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians, exactly what happens to people who don't obey the gospel. And it isn't fun. It isn't funny. I mean, we've got, or we are told by Jesus Christ to put our trust in His death, burial, and resurrection. He didn't say put it in Him. He said put it in what I did, because it's what I did that saved you. And it saved the whole world, see. It saved the whole world. And it's just wonderful. And then we talk about this, the rapture. Oh man, how wonderful. Something to look forward to. And these Thessalonians, they all look forward to the rapture. There's several places in here that they looked for the rapture before He even taught the rapture. You know, in chapter 4, verses 14. But you see right off the bat, if we're not going to go in the rapture, you're going to be left behind if you don't believe the gospel for your salvation. And it says it right here. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. What's that? It's the gospel. If we believe that for our salvation, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. And then even to those who were asleep, He's going to bring them with Him, see, who believe the gospel. And because they believe the gospel, we're going to be raised from the dead that have died. And those that haven't died, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll see, will be transformed into our new bodies. In fact, if I'm sitting here in this chair, and when it comes, I will be totally changed before my head hit that roof. I'll go through it just like Jesus walked through the walls of the building where Peter, James, and John, the disciples, were in the upper room, and the doors were locked, and He just all of a sudden He was there. That's why I go through that roof the same way. We'll have our new body that fast. And that trumpet sounds, we're out of here. And we're going out of there in our perfect body, like Jesus' perfect body, which we saw in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20. We're going to have a body like His glorious body. Think how wonderful it is. Think how wonderful these words are. And then we find out in the last verses that we're going to be preserved blameless, holy. We're going to be our whole spirit, our soul, and body are going to be preserved blameless until Jesus comes. And God's going to do it. And He will do it. Preserve us blameless. Let us pray. Father, I just thank You so much for this opportunity to teach Your Word, to teach 1 Thessalonians. And I pray that every person that has gone through this with me will be drawn closer to You. And if they haven't believed the gospel, they will now. And that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit and will be all together, all of us together, for eternity because of this teaching. And I pray, and not just this teaching, because of what You did on that cross. But we pointed them to You, Lord, and I pray they will come to You through the gospel. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.